All was worth saying's Question Time review. Question Time, the 11th of November, 2021. The panel, Lee Rowley, Conservative, Lucy Powell, Labour, Emma Pinchbeck, CEO of Energy UK, Tom Newton Dunn, political commentator, Alistair Campbell, former press secretary, the venue, Hartlepool. First question, do you think being an MP is a part-time job? No, said Lee Rowley, Conservative, who hasn't had a second job since he became an MP. But what we need to decide as a society, oh dear. Lee went on to suggest that society might conclude that his colleagues or himself in the future should be allowed to fill their pockets any which way they can while being paid a full-time wage plus expenses by the taxpayer. Alistair Campbell, former press secretary, agreed, but felt one or two of them might want to work for free at a food bank or charity. Alistair pointed out that Boris earned more when an ordinary MP, through his journalism and public speaking, than current Troffering Chief Geoffrey Cox does with his British Virgin Islands legal cases. Somebody mentioned Fiona Bruce, chair of Question Time and presenter of Antiques Roadshow, has two jobs. The type of job, wondered Tim Newton Dunn, political commentator. Nursing? Doctoring? Not that type. Or being a military reservist was one thing, but being an advisor or a lobbyist was a different matter and should be banned. Being an MP is absolutely not a part-time job, it's a full-time job, said Lucy Powell, Labour, despite Parliament's fast-approaching three-week-long Christmas recess. Emma Pinchbeck, CEO of Energy UK, a lobbyist, liked MPs. She saw these things as a partnership between big vested interests and members of Parliament, rather than corruption. She said she'd never paid an MP. She mentioned the great success of the lobbied for wind farm industry, which has been a big failure for the long-suffering electricity bill payer and a massive windfall for the landowners. Grammar school girl Emma studied classics and English at Oxford before further studies at the Cranfield School of Management. After a year as a graduate consultant at JCS Consulting, she tried a number of positions, behave yourselves, including head of climate change and energy at the Worldwide Fund for Nature. The 35-year-old is presently CEO of Energy UK, the UK energy sector's main advocacy and lobbying body. She is also the chief executive of the Energy Retail Association, the chief executive of the Association of Energy Suppliers, the chief executive of Energy Shoe Limited, and the chief executive of the Association of Independent Electricity Producers. Remember, as you listen to Miss Pinchbeck, she couldn't give a toss about the environment or corrupt MPs. She is paid to shill for the big energy companies. Emma has been tweeting from COP26. On November the 10th, she needed to tell the world, last night I met Tamara, an indigenous activist from British Columbia, as we both got lost walking to find the town centre. Are they listening to you in there? I said. Well, they're letting us protest closer to the action now, I guess, she said. She was amazing. There's been better nights out in Glasgow, but climate education nutter Dr. Jennifer Rudd, who feels the need to be surrounded by black people in her tweet photos, was more enthusiastic. Replying to Emma, she tweeted, I have to say, having you just on my Twitter feed has enriched my life. I can only guess at what people who get to hear and see you gain. After seeing and hearing Miss Pinchbeck on QT, your humble reviewer suggests, fuck all. What a load of tossers these climate crackpots are. Having said that, Emma was modest enough to tell Dr. Jennifer that meeting in real life would be an encounter with swearing, chaos and terrible diary management. Another of Emma's Twitter friends is having it even worse. Climate Megan tweets, the homesickness is hitting hard today. Got trapped in the COP26 pavilions and took 15 minutes to find the exit. Wondering if any of this is worth it. Not exactly Dunkirk, love. Question 2. Is it acceptable that people are dying at home waiting for ambulances? Obviously not, said Lucy. Her husband is an A&E doctor. There are 6 million people on waiting lists. Despite this, the NHS is treasured and wonderful. In order to help, Lucy's husband is desperate to work longer hours for less money and take a smaller pension, she didn't say. Maybe our GPs could do a little more, suggested a man in the audience, accompanied by applause. Tom Newton Dunn saw a terrible storm, with everything happening at once, an ageing population, drugs are becoming more expensive, COVID. He suggested mild coronavirus restrictions to relieve pressure on the NHS. He then suggested that the health service as a model for providing healthcare was unfit for purpose and the whole thing needed rethought. Thomas Zoltán Newton Dunn is the son of a former MEP and a Hungarian Quangocrat. In the interests of equality and equality of opportunity, Tom was educated at the same public school as his father, £40,000 a year, Marlborough College. After graduating from Edinburgh University with a degree in English literature, Mr. Newton Dunn began a career in journalism, which resulted in many commissions from the BBC, where, equally in the interests of equality and equality of opportunity, his sister Daisy is a TV producer. Lee Rowley blamed the pandemic. Lee is the MP for North East Derbyshire. Born in Chesterfield to a father in trade, milkman, Lee studied modern history at Lincoln College, Oxford. After a short career in management consultancy and insurance, Mr. Rowley entered Parliament in 2017 and is currently Parliamentary Undersecretary of State for Business and Industry. Having obviously written his own Wikipedia, his entry boasts that, when a councillor in Maida Vale, Lee was responsible for an innovative trial allowing motorcycles to use bus lanes, agreed an out-of-court settlement regarding a parking contract, and won a High Court victory allowing, not as lucky as they thought they were, motorcyclists to be charged for parking. Lucy said this was a long time coming, out with coronavirus. She linked the NHS with the provision of social care, a lack of the latter blocks beds in the former. Lucy Powell is the Shadow Secretary of State for Housing and the Labour and Cooperative Party MP for Manchester Central. Miss Powell is an old girl of Parswood High School in Greater Manchester's posh Didsbury and a graduate of Somerville College, Oxford. After graduating in chemistry, Miss Powell continued her studies at King's College London before embarking on a non-career of non-jobs in the Labour Party, PR, campaigning and Quangoland. She was elected to Parliament in 2012. Emma wanted to agree with everyone on the panel. She saw a demographic change. There was a bit of an arms race. Emma had a bad heart after falling off her bike. A lady in the audience had had bone cancer. Lee had bad asthma. Another audience lady trumped the lot of them with a death, not her own, a parent's, 2 years ago. Besides demographics, Emma mentioned better ideas and better management. Nobody asked the killer question. Which of the panellists, I'll bet you it's all of them, have private health care? Alistair has bad asthma too and bad depression. His GP was worried about him. He diagnosed an ABC of the NHS's problems. Austerity, Brexit and COVID. Groan. Grammar school boy Alistair is a graduate in modern languages of Gonville and Caius College. Cambridge, Gonville and Caius have published an interim report entitled Legacies of Slavery and Coerced Labour at the College. Although the College headlines little evidence of any direct connections to slavery, reading the actual report suggests the precise opposite, with many slave owners sending their offspring to Gonville and Caius, and with the College actually owning shares in the South Sea Company. Conveniently, whole categories of donations and donors are filed under, passed over for further study due to time constraints. I wonder if these academic types might be tempted to pull the same trick when it comes to inconvenient data about the climate. After benefiting from the proceeds of slavery, Alistair began his first job as a cub reporter with the Daily Mirror and the Tavistock Times. His rapid rise in Fleet Street led to depression and alcohol abuse. In 1986, the committed socialist was arrested and committed to a private hospital after suffering a nervous breakdown. The downward spiral continued with, by 1994, Campbell having sunk as low as being then leader of the opposition Tony Blair's press secretary. Worse was to come. Beyond the pale, the gutter and the sewer, Alistair was to become Prime Minister Blair's official spokesman and Downing Street Director of Communications and Strategy. In these positions, he was instrumental in a dodgy dossier that committed Britain to the unnecessary and illegal Gulf War II. He also participated in a sequence of events that led to the death of Iraq weapons of mass destruction whistleblower Dr. David Kelly. These days, Alistair cuts a pathetic figure, stumbling through the autocue text at Good Morning Britain during Richard Bailey's days off, and doing £20 a time quickie trembler pieces to camera on any subject from in front of the bookcase in his cold and lonely North London bachelor flat. A solitary warning and a waste of slave owners' good money. His copper success. Tim Newton Dunn wasn't keen. There will be a self-congratulatory final communique, but the big players such as China and Russia hadn't even turned up. More progress needed to be made. This was Emma's specialist subject. The biggest myth is the overall ambition. Not sure what that meant. She explained it meant 1.5 degrees. Will we get far enough along the road to send a good signal? The private sector was running ahead of government. She was reading all of this from a sheet of paper. Alistair said it was too early to tell, as it depends on what flows from it. The hard stuff starts on Monday. Somebody asked about the energy deficit approaching as we are forced to move to electric cars. Lucy recognised a transition and claimed the technology exists, but not the production capacity. Hartlepool could win the global race, but it was up to the government to have a plan. Lucy was clueless. A chap who used to be on the QT50 panel spoke, the one who had the pictures of aeroplanes on his wall. He pointed out the nonsense of importing biomass from America when we're sitting on coal. Emma invented the term negative emission technologies, which would get us to 1.5 by repeating catchphrases rather than by actually doing anything. Will all of this be legally binding? Asked a wise audience member. Will there be sanctions against those who don't keep to the targets? That's the plan, sir. And it will need some kind of supranational globalised legal process to impose it upon us. We're out of time, noted Fiona Bruce, as both climate crackpots and libertarians might worry.